Welcome to Zone In. I'm your host, Steve Lewis. For the next hour, you'll be zoned in for fitness. Today's guest, I got Mr. Keith Johnson from Schererville, Indiana. Omni's personal trainer, one of Omni's personal trainers over there. And we're going to have Keith come on and give us some tips, and we're going to talk about some things that are happening in the news right now with nutrition and so forth. In particular, there are a couple of things I wanted to cover. There was a study done by Purdue University about, you know, artificial sweeteners. Sorry, can't get that out of my mouth. And and then there's another scandal going on with some pre-made juices. That's naked juice. So Keith and I are going to talk about that a little later. But first, I want to bring in Keith. Let me tell you, the guy's a bodybuilder, and if you ever see him, bodybuilders have a definite look to them. You know, the wide shoulders, tapered waist, and pretty thick. Well, you start to think, okay, maybe this guy's on steroids. But when you see Keith lift, you realize, you know, this is the full package here. He's an ACE certified personal trainer. He's also a Parisi. Am I saying that right? Let me see. Parisi School personal trainer, okay? So he's got a good background in terms of anatomy, diet, nutrition, and really, I think Omni is one of the, like, largest gyms in Northwest Indiana, and that's right outside of Chicago. And really, and when you go in there and you want a personal trainer, I hate to say it, but really, you want to get Keith, okay? He's, you know, great bedside manner, excellent knowledge about, you know, subjects in terms of what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and really just a very pleasant person to be around. he's probably blushing right now. Keith,
hey,
how you doing?
Steve, how you doing, buddy?
Okay. Hey,
I'd like to thank you for having me on the show today. I really appreciate it.
I thank you for coming on.
Well, yeah, made me sound real good. You know, I'm going to have to back it up, I guess, huh?
Well, you've been doing that already, buddy. I tell you, really, I love watching your work, really. You know,
oh,
and
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It means a lot to a guy who's been in the business for so long, such an experienced lifter and everything.
Great. So now, how did you get into this business?
You know, it's funny how I fall into the fitness industry. I grew up kind of a chubby kid, actually. You know, I used to drink a lot of pop, and I can eat. To this day, I can still eat, but I know how to make the right choices. But I was kind of what I would consider a chubby to fat kid. You know, luckily, I was very athletic, so I still got along with everybody pretty well. Everybody was fairly nice to me. I didn't get picked on too much. But baseball was my life. You know, I played that my whole life, and I began transitioning to get ready to play college ball. I began lifting weights, and I noticed my arms growing, girls paying a little bit more attention to me. And, you know, who doesn't mind that as an 18-year-old male? And
you got that right.
I just fell in love with fitness. I went to Illinois State University in 2005, played a couple years of ball there, and after those 2 years, I decided bodybuilding was my calling. So I actually left there, went to Curry State College, got my associate's degree in applied science, got ACE certified and Parisi Speed School certified at Omni, and here I am today.
Excellent. Okay. So, you know, listening to you there, I mean, wow, that's a great pathway that gets you to where you are now. But I do have a question here, because you started out, you said you were kind of like a chubby kid, and you liked to eat. So, Now, I'm taking that you weren't so disciplined early. Is that what it was? And then now, and now you are disciplined, because you can't get the way you are now without being disciplined. So how did that happen?
Well, you know, when I was chubby as a young man, I knew it. And, you know, I had a couple people remind me, you know, they'd say, oh, Keith hits the ball so far because he can't run that fast. So, you know, they'd put little jabs at me. And
I
went to high school, I really got into nutrition. I really started paying attention to what I ate, what I put in my body. I was pretty weird, where I was like a calorie counter. I could tell people, you know, what was in anything. If you were eating, you know, a bag of pretzels, this, you know, chips, sandwich, I knew the nutritional facts of it. So I really just became aware of that. And, you know, eventually puberty hit. You know, I grew a little bit. I'm not very tall still. I'm about 5'7", so it didn't work too well. But I eventually lost a lot of weight till I was about only 140 pounds when I was about 16, so I was a little guy. And I graduated high school about 155, and I've just been about portion control and eating the right things now. You know, I can still enjoy eating and enjoy life, but it's about portion control and balance.
Okay. So now when you're in high school, where did you pick up all the, I mean, you hadn't gone through any training yet. So where did you pick up all this knowledge about the calories and exercise? I mean, did you have certain coaches try to gear you that way or what?
Not at all. You know, it's funny, I learned a lot of this on my own, but my mother actually was real into fitness when I was a young man. And she subscribed to Muscle and Fitness magazine. I'm talking from the early 80s till, you know, the 2000s. I actually just canceled her subscription just recently because I've moved on to, you know, a little bit more of a bodybuilding geared magazine, and I've read them all, so.
Right, okay.
But I picked up a lot of information from that, and then I just, you know, I studied anatomy and physiology and kinesiology and nutrition in high school and just fell in love with it. The body's a very amazing thing, and it just intrigued me a lot.
Okay. Wow, that's great. So, but now, so that's what you did for yourself. But now, how do you, different people get motivated for different reasons. I mean, you were, you're pretty much the, the chubby kid, and that got you into it. Then also, you're saying that, your mom was kind of into it too. I mean, that really had to help out a lot. But so, on a day-to-day basis, you're training several people. I mean, and they're coming for different reasons. I mean, for me, and I was a trainer, years ago, my biggest issue is that some people just came in and thought that things were just going to happen automatically for them, just by them, reaching out to a trainer, grabbing a gym membership, and then it was going to happen, and that was it. So how do you approach those people? I mean, what do you do? Do you say anything to them to say, look, you got to stop? I mean, I don't know. Because I'm just going to be honest, women get motivated a little different than guys, so, and then there's a certain way that you can talk to women that you can't talk to guys and vice versa. I mean, example, I remember early going in my career when I was a personal trainer, the women said, really, it would be easier if you didn't yell at me. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, because that was the culture back then, lift that last weight, or I mean, that last rep, get it out, or, let's go that last mile or something. But, some of them wanted a softer side. So, and I see you have really an excellent bedside manner. I mean, you get along with people very well. So how did you develop all that? I mean, is it you just judge by the character of the people that come in or what?
That's it right there. Steve, everybody's individual, not to cut you off there. It's just, you have to, it's almost a balancing act. I get to know these people. It's more than just I see them once to four times a week. I try to learn about their families, themselves, their personalities, and I gauge them by that. Of course, the sexes, there's different ways to motivate each person, but my main way I do it, because my way to be motivated is from very negative, yelling, probably very similar to you, Steve. But a lot of people just shut down when you do that to them. So you really have to find an important way to show them, motivate them, reinforce that they're doing a good job, but still confront them when they're doing something wrong. Because a lot of people have a lack of nutrition knowledge. They think they're eating healthy, and they're eating horrible things, Steve. It amazes me how many people don't know the difference between a carbohydrate, a protein, and a fat. It just blows my mind. The American people have no idea about nutrition, and it's got to go back to, the food pyramid and everything. We're just not informing people of macronutrients and how important they really are. But to get back to the motivation thing, it's just an individual. I can beat some females to the ground, and some males I got to tiptoe, and vice versa. You just got to learn that person and gauge it from there. But, you always got to hold your clients accountable. I don't let anybody slack too much or, you know, I'm not going to hold my tongue if they're just going to go down the wrong path. They hired me for a reason, and their goals are very important to me. I've told many people I like to see my clients succeed almost more than I like to see myself succeed. And when you can see a client who has a breakthrough, who has a problem with weight, or they gain that extra 2 pounds of muscle, that means more to me than gaining, you know, squatting 600 or something. That would be a big goal for myself.
I can imagine.
I can tell you, Steve, this is my passion, so it's easy. My job is easy, to be honest with you, you know. I get to spread the word of fitness and health, and I couldn't ask for a better job.
Well, that's great. You're doing a great job. I tell you, really, I love to watch your work, that's for sure. So do you do a lot of education with your clients? I mean, how is it that you sit down and you kind of look, or do you kind of say, look, if they're really not educated, I think, again, you like you pointed out the food pyramid, and I think a couple of shows ago, I was talking about the food pyramid. I mean, the food pyramid is kind of like, it's kind of like off balance there. I mean, it doesn't really give you all what you need, but it's kind of a guide. Do you, you know, really sit down with your clients and educate them, or how do you go about doing it?
The first session you meet with me, I take them out on the track, we walk around, we get to know each other, and I talk about a food log. A food log is probably, I'm going to say, the number one tool that my clients can use for success.
Okay.
If you're writing down the foods you're eating and the beverages that you're consuming, right away I know how many calories you're taking in for your body weight, your height, and your body type. But it also makes the client aware that, man, I don't want to write down that I had 6 beers and 12 pieces of pizza on Saturday night.
Yeah, exactly.
It holds people really accountable,
myself included.
If I write down my food journal, you know, man, I probably shouldn't have went to, you know, Qdoba and had that burrito or something. So
there you go.
That's a big thing where I advocate nutrition is in the food log, because that's going to help the clients realize that they might not be making the healthiest choices. And then we can break it down further from there and explain the importance of what they're putting in their body and the reasons and the timing of the nutrition. Because it is very, you know, confusing, or there's a lot that goes into nutrition timing.
Yeah,
and,
true.
So that's one of the tools we do, but I try to educate them with my training styles also, as far as biomechanics and how the body works and the functions of those muscles. I think people can feel the muscles working better if they know what they're made to do. You know,
okay.
The tricep's made to extend the elbow. So if they know that when they're pushing down on the wall, or if they're opening a door using their bicep and their lats and their forearms, they can relate to that when they're pulling, doing a bent over row or a seated row. A lot of my clients, I'll quiz them in a way. They'll say, oh, what am I working right now? And I'll say, oh, well, what do you think you're working right now? And they might not like that, but that really hammers home what they're working. And that's a big thing for me, is to be a learner along with the actual act of weight training or cardio fitness.
Gotcha. Okay. So, but if you had to sum it up, I mean, if going back to nutrition, though, if you had to sum it up, what's the one worst thing that they do? Is there anything that everybody comes in and you're like, oh, you know, it's the same problem. I see this over and over again. Let me stop you right now. This is what you've got to, you know, got to change right now in your diet in order to get you on track. Is there anything like that that you can say, or there's several things?
I'll give you my top three problems that I see with most people. Number one, I'd say, is lack of meal frequency. I get people who, you know, they wake up at 5 a.m. to go to work. They don't eat till they get home at 5 p.m. I mean, so now they've been fasting for, you know, 16 hours, let's say, by the time they went to bed the night before at 10 p.m. Their body's just in starvation mode, and they're just going to hold on to that body fat.
We're going to do a whole show on that.
We could do hours and hours on that, but people...
Yeah.
Think when you're dieting you should eat less, but in fact when I'm trying to lose body fat, I'm eating more often throughout the day than even when I'm trying to gain mass. My portions are a little smaller, and maybe my choices are different, but it's my meal frequency is up to 7-8 meals a day. I always compare, you know, it's like feeding a fire. If you only put one big log on the fire, it's going to burn, but it's going to be very slow. It's not going to be, you know, those big flames coming off of it producing that heat that's going to burn well. and your body works the same way. Eventually, that giant log is going to go out, and your body's just going to hold on to body fat. The second biggest thing is I see a lot of people have a lack of protein in their diet. A lack of protein and too many sugars. People are drinking too much cappuccino, frappuccino, things I've never even heard of that contain
right.
70 grams of sugar. I had a client who was drinking this tea from a certain coffee shop. And I checked the nutritional facts, and in each 12-ounce serving, there's over 70 grams of sugar.
Oh, my goodness.
It's insane. Yeah. And I had to confront her on it, and she really didn't like it. But, you know, to this day, we get along great, and she really appreciated that I opened her eyes to, you know, things that sound healthy. A green tea sounds healthy, doesn't it? But now with all the sugars and other things they're adding into it.
That's exactly
And then I'd have to say this coincides with the lack of meal frequency is portion size. You know, now that I haven't ate for 16 hours, I'm hungry. I'm going to eat my 20-ounce T-bone. I'm going to have, you know, 2 cups of rice.
Exactly.
You know, my scotch and soda afterwards. And it's just, you're just pretty much overloading your body, and there's only so much you can utilize. But that's probably my three biggest mistakes I see amongst my clients.
Okay.
Is meal frequency, the sugar to protein balance. A lot of people also, not to add on another one here, is people underestimate the importance of fat. Healthy fats are good for our body, not only to cushion our joints, you know, to absorb the fat soluble vitamins A, B, E, and K, but also for energy. Fat is the most condensed source of energy we have. It's 9 calories per gram, two times as much as protein and carbs. So it's important to take in your healthy fats, but do it in moderation along with your protein and your carbohydrates. Balance is the key. I can't stress that enough. Did I mention I'm a Libra, Steve? So on the scales, it's all about balance.
No problem. You're right. Okay. Well, I'm not going to go too far into the, you know, the laughing about the fat, because if we can do a whole show on that too.
yeah.
But the thing is that you're not talking about saturated fat, right? You're pretty much talking about monounsaturated fat, or no?
Uh-huh. Mono and polyunsaturated fats. But I'll tell you,
okay,
Steve, there's some good things on saturated fats that we might be able to cover on a later show, because I could go off on a tangent about them. But...
No problem.
You know, next time we'll have a nutrition special where we'll be able to talk a little bit about saturated fats, because I think they're exciting, the breakthroughs that I've learned and put into practice with myself and a few of my clients.
Excellent.
That
okay.
I find to be very important.
All right. Yeah, especially if you got some, if you've already done some studies and you've already found some results, I'd love to hear that. That's for sure.
Yeah,
you know,
I've got some pretty interesting stuff that, because I think we're both old school guys, and we were taught to avoid saturated fats, how, you know, they're going to clog our arteries. And in most cases, they are. But there's a few interesting sources of saturated fats, like coconut oil, grass-fed beef. You know, we can supplement with CLA and so on, that have some good health benefits, not only for your physique, but for your cholesterol, your arteries, and so on.
Great. Yep. I definitely want to talk about that. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You know what? Kind of this, you know, some of the things you just mentioned and touched base on, I want to just change gears right now and just go a little bit to what's happening in the news. One of the things I want to go over, like I said earlier, was Purdue University had a study that came out, and it's now being passed around to different medical journals and so forth, about sugar-free drinks. You know, don't get me wrong. I mean, there are studies out there on everything, but sometimes I always question, you know, why the study's being done in the first place. But in this case, Purdue University said that sugar-free drinks are bad for you, you know. And they basically said that it could lead to the metabolic syndrome, which is basically your body shuts down and it stops processing foods properly. It starts storing everything that you put in. Now, I can kind of see where they're coming from with that, but, you know, we have a lot of people right now that are diabetics. And so with that, you know, I think if you're going to come out with a study that says this is bad, you should come out with some kind of recommendation. And I didn't see that anywhere in the study or any of the journals. So, you know, it seems like they wanted to cut out, you know, saying just stop drinking, you know, pop doesn't have real sugar in it. So, and now, you know, everybody knows, just like you said, you know, one of the biggest things you saw was, you know, just way too many sugars. You know, that's basically what's causing, you know, many of the diets that we have to, you know, to be off track. So I would rather they had put some recommendation out there. I didn't see it. But I don't know. The thing is, I don't drink, you know, pop, period. I mean, you know, some places in the country call it soda pop. That's what I'm talking about, either pop if you're in the Midwest or where we are, or soda pop if you're on the if you're in the South or the over in the East Coast. But the thing is that when you're trying to minimize the number of calories, you know, you've got to take every option that you can. So I don't think we should take artificially sweetened pop or soda pop off the table altogether. I think we just like you said, it's got to be portion control. You just, you know, you can't have 10 of them a day. I mean, I don't really know, because I'm thinking if you're having 10 of them a day, it's only because of the caffeine you're getting out of it, and you just got into a habit. So, you know, I don't know. How do you feel about this? What do you think?
You
mean,
know,
is
Steve, I've been hearing this for a couple of years now about the negative effects of certain artificial sweeteners, such as aspartame and Splenda, sucralose is a compound name of it, or those are the two probably biggest ones. There's some new ones that come from natural plants and everything that I'll cover in a second. But I'll tell you, from somebody who used to be a big pop drinker as a kid, it's almost an addiction that, I'll tell you, I dropped pop from my diet and switched to diet pop, and I lost, you know, a lot of weight. Now, there's some big factors in there, you know, turning 14 years old, puberty, things like that.
Right.
But I was like cutting 400 calories out of my diet a day. And also for a lot of my clients, you know, I think if they like pop, it's okay to have, like you said, the portion control, maybe one can a day or two cans, three cans a week. Because to me, the carbonation is, when you're on a diet, is going to fill you up. And also it can give people kind of, it can take care of that sugar craving. But maybe comment more on the study is that they've found that in a lot of people, that the more artificial sweeteners people take in, the more likely they are to binge on real sugar. Now, personally, I find that almost takes care of my craving for sugar. Luckily, I've never been a huge sugar person, but I do enjoy a carbonated beverage. That's something I like, and I find it particularly important while dieting, as long as you're not getting ready for a show, to have maybe a can of pop, diet pop, because it fills you up a little bit, and it takes care of a sugar craving. But long story short, there's really not been enough long-term studies done on people to find out the exact effects of what these sweeteners do. People say how they're going to cause brain cancer and everything. And do we have any studies showing that this was a cause of a brain tumor or any very negative effects? So until I can really give you my true, you know, feeling on them, I'll tell you right now, I think in moderation, sugar, you know, artificially sweetened beverages are okay. Now, if you're drinking, like you said, 12, 15 a day, that's an addiction to the caffeine.
Right.
And that's something else that we got to consider. But I think the beverage industry is also making a good switch to, like, a stevia extract, which is a plant.
Right.
I believe, don't quote me on this, native to South America and Africa, that is naturally sweetened. And it's a plant that the extract that they add to beverages now. Or they come in little pouches that you can add to your coffee that add no calories but give you that sugar-like taste.
Right.
And I think those are healthier than the aspartame and the Splenda. But my feelings are sugar-free beverages aren't as bad as a regular pop. And that's my thoughts.
You know, I go back a little bit farther in terms of when the diet pop and diet soda pop came out. I mean, originally, like I said, for diabetics, it was the first time they could really sit down and enjoy, you know, a soft drink that, you know, wasn't going to, you know, raise their sugar level and, you know, cause havoc on their system. So, and that was, and they started out with what was then back, I want to say late 50s, early 60s was Tab, you know, but I'm going to tell you, for me, when I first tasted Tab, and I loved, because I was drinking pop, and I tasted Tab for the first time, I just nearly, I mean, oh my goodness, I nearly lost everything out of my stomach. The thing was, is that it was so bad. So, over the years, the taste got better and better. I mean, you know, and then along, it's been like now 15 years, but sucralose came out. And then, wow, I was like, this tastes so much like real sugar. I mean, once I started drinking it, I could barely tell the difference between what was diet and what was real. Now, the thing here is, I think what you touched on is that it's sugar. If you've got this sugar craving, you've got to somehow deal with that and get rid of it. Now, part of it is, once you become more active, okay, then your endocrine system is going to pick up, and then, you know, and then it'll stabilize. But if it's not, if it's out of whack, it's going to keep, you know, constantly craving for sugar, and now your insulin's being spiked, so on and so forth. Yeah, there's going to be a problem. But I think it's like you say, you know, there's this deal where people are just addicted to this stuff, and they just get in the habit of doing it, and it just keeps going on and on and on and on. But I don't know, but for Purdue to come out with this study, I'm without any recommendation to say, look, maybe one or two a week, you know, but the way they presented it, it was kind of like, it's bad, get rid of it. But I don't know, you know, who knows? Maybe that is the case. Maybe they're just saying, wake up, you're gonna have to eliminate this stuff anyway, because anything artificial, no matter what it is, your body has to figure out what it is and says, okay, if I don't know what this is or what I'm going to do, I'm just going to put it to the side. Now, in this case, there are no calories. The only thing that's going to be there is excess insulin, maybe. So I don't know how that's going to work. But, you know, it's just one of those things. It's one of those things I say to myself, okay, why did they put it out?
Yeah, well, to comment, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, they're trying to promote, you know, being healthy with these studies, I assume.
Yeah.
Why not offer, you know, a substitution for your artificially sweetened beverage?
Exactly.
To agree with you, they should say, well, blah, blah, blah will be a good substitute, or maybe they just don't know right now. That's the only thing I could think of, is that Purdue felt that they didn't have anything that was a concrete answer for those people. Because, you know, it's hard enough to diet, and now you're going to take away people's calorie-free treats. It's going to be, you know, that could be daunting for most people.
Yeah,
and
I've
heard of people drinking gallons of Diet Pop, which I do not advocate, on a contest diet, which I think is absurd for a bodybuilding show or something, or a physique competition, bikini show, getting ready for the beach. And they got to a very low body fat level. Now, how do you explain those people? Were they doing wrong or what, you know?
Right, yeah.
So I think there needs to be more research and more long-term research done. It's all these little studies and nothing's concrete. That's my biggest complaint.
And that's definitely it. You know, it's almost come up on here on a break here. But when we come back off break, I am going to talk about one of the things that's been an alternative for a lot of people, is this naked juice. You know, everybody loves naked juice. I mean, I like them. You know, I like their green drinks. I like some of their protein drinks. But, you know, there was a finding out that, you know, there was some serious stuff in there. So I don't know, you know, I should say this. The stuff that's inside the juice was not on the label. And I don't know what's going on there, but they just settled a $9 million lawsuit. So when we come back off break, I'll see what your thoughts are about that, okay? and we're back. This is Zone In, and I'm Steve Lewis, your host, and today we've got Mr. Keith Johnson with us from Schererville, Indiana. He's one of the personal trainers at Omni Fitness there. Keith, before break, we were talking about, you know, some of the things in the news about that are not, well, that the medical community somehow has a problem with in terms of putting into our body. Well, one of the things that came out recently was the Naked Juice products from Pepsi. They're saying that there's formaldehyde inside of those bottles. Well, Naked Juice pretty much promotes themselves as GMO, or, you know, basically being organic, saying that nothing is synthetic or artificial or whatever. And now they're saying that, yeah, they did have some artificial or some synthetic ingredients in there, and those synthetic ingredients were derived from formaldehyde. I mean, that's pretty scary. I mean, that's, you know, I know we were just talking about, you know, artificial sweeteners and pop, but this is like way over the top. I mean, this is stuff that, I mean, we're putting in toxins that we know that are definitely, you know, going to have an effect on your body, and down the road could, you know, could cause, I don't know, even cancer. So I don't know. I mean, you know, and they make a lot of sales. I didn't look up to see what the sales were on the Naked Juice, but I mean, everybody's got it somewhere. I mean, you know, if you're even think about buying a juice now, you know, you've got to think, you know, some of their brands are pretty good. I'd like to know what your take is on that.
You know, Steve, this just goes to show how, like, there's a lack of regulation in our country as far as for food goes. And formaldehyde, I'll never forget, is what we preserve. We would dissect cats in high school. This was my junior year anatomy and physiology class. And those cats were covered in formaldehyde to preserve the cat's body so we could dissect it and check all its muscles. But that had such a horrible smell, and just think what that would do to your insides if it was a preservative for dead animals. You know, there was a monkey from the 1950s in my science class that was in formaldehyde being preserved. Now imagine that being in what you would supposedly consider an organic juice drink that is very expensive. I mean, these drinks are going for anywhere from $3 to almost $5 a piece for the normal, I think, I believe it's a 16-ounce bottle. And it just goes to show, what can we believe on these labels? I mean, Naked Juice has been around for how long now? Let's say 5 years or so, roughly.
At least,
and
yeah.
We've been led to believe for our $4 that we're going to get an organic quality juice drink that's going to help our bodies. But
right.
In fact, we're getting preservatives just like we do in all of our foods that could cause harm to our body. And formaldehyde is one of them that's pretty bad. And it doesn't surprise me too much because, you know, Naked Juice is owned by Pepsi, and Pepsi's looking to make a profit, and they're a big company. And I believe they'll cut corners to get things approved enough and claim what they can on a label. And it just goes to show, if you want your own natural organic products, you're going to have to go to your little local markets and juice your own drinks. Because for $4 a glass or for a bottle, who knows what you're getting.
Exactly, right. You know, I realize a lot of that, you know, that they've come out with, as far as Naked Juice, well, what they've come out with, you know, is, you know, it's for convenience. I mean, you know, one thing that attracted me to it was, I think some of the bottles had, like, you know, 15 to 20 grams of protein, which is what you mentioned. You know, protein is one of the things you got to stay on top of. And, you know, it had 20 grams of protein, in terms of sugars, you know, those were all down. There was no artificially sweetened stuff in there, supposedly, you know. But now I'm looking at this, and they're saying, you know, formaldehyde, that some of the stuff that they put in there, you know, they took formaldehyde and made the stuff. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You're right. I mean, I don't know. You know, but
it is
so,
it is a little shocking to think about it that we're drinking juice drinks, organic, supposedly organic juice drinks that have formaldehyde in them. Who knows what else is inside those things if they're testing positive for formaldehyde in them. And I was reading a little bit of the study. You know, humans can only tolerate so much formaldehyde actually before it could cause death. I mean, it'll cause major illnesses, probably send you to the hospital first, but it could also kill you. That's a big scary fact, too, drinking what you would consider something that's supposed to help your health.
Exactly. You're right. I'm appalled. So now I don't know what to think, you know. I mean, and Pepsi, such a large company, I mean, you know, like you said, I mean, they're looking to make profit, so they were cutting back. But, I mean, this, if they're doing it, who else is doing it? I mean, you know. You know, I hate to mention names, but like MedRx or EAS. I mean, look, I don't know. I mean, so you're right. So now you just got to either go to your local guy, have him juice it up for you, or do it yourself. I don't know. But convenience. I mean, one of the things about, you know, getting on track and, you know, having a healthy diet and a healthy lifestyle is that you got to look for those little conveniences, you know, to help you out. So, is there any way around that? I mean, what do you do? I mean, I don't know. For me, when I start and I want to lose weight, I just dedicate. I got to get up early, 4 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, and then just start preparing my food for at least the next 4 days. You know, starting from Monday through Thursday. But you know, it's inconvenient. But I know if I don't do it, then I'm going to be subject to buying. You know, the food that's already out there, it's either going to be loaded with sugar, salt, something. So I'm like, okay, no, just do it myself.
Or even
do it myself.
Formaldehyde, who knows?
Or even formaldehyde. Yeah, you got that right. So what do you do? I mean, do you...
And Steve, you couldn't hit it more on the head. You know, food preparation is the key to physique transformation goals. I mean, I don't care if you're trying to gain muscle, lose body fat, live a healthy lifestyle, improve your blood pressure, your cholesterol. It all comes down to food preparation. Not only are you going to save your body, your physique, feel better about yourself, but your wallet is also going to feel better too. You know, when you're preparing your food, when you're buying your groceries more in bulk, buying quality foods, it's not only cheaper, but you're not stopping at McDonald's or other fast food chains or drinking juices or supplements that you really don't know what's in there. So
exactly.
Food preparation is the key. And for any successful person, they're going to have their Tupperware, their little cooler, and that's the key to really reaching your fitness goals is food preparation. I can't advocate enough how important nutrition is. It's at least 80% of your actual physique and athletic goals is through your nutrition.
But, you know, like I said, but the convenience, you know, it's like I said, anything else, the convenience that you know that you can at least, so let's say you didn't get a chance to prepare your food or set it up, then you can at least go over and grab something. But here, you know, now you got to think, you know, you got to be a little skeptical. So I don't know, maybe somehow just like you say, you should, I don't know, maybe just take a cooler around with you with some water or some almond milk or something and then have, you know, some shakes that you know that, you know, some, you know, protein powder or something that you know that is for sure and guaranteed to be the right stuff. And then I don't really know. Yeah.
I agree with you 100%. You got to do a little research on your own, find some good quality protein supplements that are not only effective and efficient, but they're also safe and convenient. You know, that's a huge thing for any fitness enthusiast is just having, because you know there's going to be days where you sleep through that alarm or you're miss a meal because of a long meeting at work, so having that protein shake or, you know, protein carb supplement that'll help you make it through the day and still stay on track with your fitness goals is the key. And that just comes down to preparation and doing a little research on your own to find what you need to know about these supplements. And the government actually doesn't regulate supplements at all, but there's a lot of companies that will do independent studies on what is actually in the labels of your supplements that you're taking that I found to be very effective. And that just takes a Google search or internet to figure out what you're getting. And now
what
you can't necessarily believe everything on the internet, but it'll at least help you guide you in the right direction.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just disheartening. You see these things and you're like, okay, here it is, you know, 2013, and we're still, you know, struggling with trying to, you know, get proper nutrition, you know, and have everything on the label, what's on the label, say what's actually inside the bottle or the can or the package or whatever. So, yeah. Hey, Keith, you know, I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to just comment on the Naked Juice one last thing. People are spending their hard-earned money on this product that who knows how much of a profit Pepsi's making off of it, and it's really sad that we are losing our money for a drink that could possibly kill us. That's the thing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's the thing. Right. So, and it doesn't just have to be Naked Juice. It could be, you know, somebody else. But it, and like I said, and then we were talking earlier just about, you know, the artificial sweeteners being an issue. So, you know, it's just so confusing out there that now we just have to start talking about it and, you know, everybody, you know, trying to, you know, get a grasp on what they need to do personally to figure out, you know, what they can come up with that's going to make things convenient for them, as opposed to, like you said, paying a high, because for $4, you're definitely paying for convenience and the fact that, you know, you're getting a good product. So that's, you know, that's all it is.
I can agree with you more on that one, Steve.
Yeah. Before I let you go, you know, I do want to cover with you, I've got some questions that people have sent to me about, you know, how do they transform their body. I mean, in particular, I guess the trending thing now, the women want the J-Lo behind. Is that what, you understand what I'm saying? they want to know what...
I think women are embracing their curves a little bit more. And
yeah, exactly.
They want that athletic, muscular rear end or gluteus maximus that J-Lo has made her career off of. You know, and personally, I couldn't be more happy for this, but maybe I could cover a few things that'll help people reach their goals of reaching their round, firm behind that everybody wants.
Exactly. So what do you think? I mean, what are some of the things? I know the squats probably with maybe some weights under the heels. I don't know. But then, you know, I'm sorry.
You know, I'll tell you, Steve, the number one glute builder, in my opinion, is deep squats. I'm talking all the way to the ground, practically. You know, some people might have knee injuries or something. I personally squat all the way down every time and, you know, count my lucky stars, never had a knee injury. But that's the number one thing that has developed my glutes. I can tell you...
Okay.
I went from a guy who really didn't have much of a butt to somebody from squatting. Even for a male, it's not necessarily so important for me from, you know, I'm sure a lot of ladies like a guy with a good butt, but
right.
It just helps my physique from a power standpoint. Your gluteus maximus is actually one of the strongest muscles in the body, so why not utilize it to its fullest and grow it like it should be? And I can tell you right now for myself, I advocate it to everybody I know. Low squats will develop your glutes the most, in my opinion.
Okay. Is there any particular rep scheme or, you know, like trying to hit the certain fibers or, you know, like is it?
For some good glute training, I would suggest taking about a little wider than a shoulder width stance, pointing your toes out. You're going to push your hips open as you lower yourself down into the hole.
Okay.
And when you explode out of the bucket or the bottom, you're going to come up and really flex those glutes hard at the top.
Gotcha.
That's where you're going to push your hips forward, feel those muscles working. And I'm a big believer, legs are probably one of my best body parts, and high reps have really developed them. I love to squat super heavy, but the high reps have really provided the blood flow and the nutrients that make your legs grow. And I can say, you know, the glutes along with your quads and hamstrings need a lot of volume because we walk on them all day. They're used to carrying around our bodies, and
that's right.
We really have to break down those fibers to stimulate growth.
Okay.
But to comment a little bit more on glute training, I think one-legged squats are very important. That's where you're going to hook your leg, let's say your left leg's behind you on a bench.
Okay.
Resting, and you're going to have one leg out in front of you, and you're going to squat down to where that opposing leg almost touches the floor. This is a great glute builder also. Again,
oh, wow. Okay.
You stretch all the way down, up, and squeeze those hips forward, because that's the function of the glutes, is to push your pelvis forward, and that's what's really going to get that good contraction and blood into your glutes. And
gotcha.
I've had a lot of good results with that.
Okay. Now, is that with, like, any kind of resistance, or maybe, like, 70% of your one rep maximum, or 10% of your one? I mean, so what, I mean, how do you judge the weight on that?
First, starting out, I would suggest just doing your body weight. Just going on there,
okay.
Getting your balance.
Okay.
And then a lot of my clients will use dumbbells at their sides. For myself, I've had good results using the Smith machine. This is for more of a physique and not necessarily an athletic aspect, is because it's guided. I don't have to worry about my balance as much, but I can really overload the glutes, the hamstrings, and the quadriceps for maximum development.
Okay.
But I've had very good results with that, and nobody can beat lunges. Lunges are another great one. Really long
lunges.
Drives.
Okay.
All that right. Will have your J-Lo, Beyonce behind popping like no other.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, baby. Yep. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm going to take that and tweet it, man. That sounds like a winner, really. That sounds like the way to go.
Right,
yeah. Really. In fact, I'm kind of motivated now to get back in there and do it. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, Steve, I did legs yesterday, and I'm feeling my rear end right now in those deep squats. That's the key.
Okay. So what was your routine yesterday? What did you do?
You know, I actually pre-exhausted my quads. I started with some leg extensions.
Okay.
And I'm a big drop set person, and I did. I worked all the way up to the whole stack, and I probably dropped it down going 60 pounds each time. So I dropped it down to from 290 all the way to about 50 and did, I'm guessing, close to 100 repetitions.
Okay.
And then I did some lying leg curls. I actually hack squatted first, which is very rare for me to do. Felt great. Went pretty heavy on those. I moved to some front squats next, which is one of my favorites. You know, again, going all the way down, all the way up.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I proceeded to go to some seated leg curls where I went pretty heavy. And I ended with some back squats for high reps. And I felt really good yesterday, Steve. I was real strong, and I'm definitely feeling the effects of that workout already just a day later.
There you go. That's right. You know, when you're sore, you did it right. That's exactly right. You know, yeah. You know, I got to get some pictures of you, some videos, and start streaming this. I got
to
do that.
Oh,
yeah.
I would love to do a little training video for everyone.
I'd love that, too. Hey, man, I tell you, I think our time is almost up here. It's been a slice. I really enjoyed talking to you. In fact, I'm hoping you come back.
It's been a
pleasure.
I look forward to hopefully having you invite me back to the show. I really enjoyed myself, and I'd like to thank you along with all the listeners. I really appreciated it, and everybody keep going out there to reach their goals, their fitness goals. I've done things that I never thought I would do with my body, so anything's possible.
Definitely. Keith, it's been great, man. I appreciate it so much.
Oh,
and tell you what,
I can't thank you enough for the opportunity.
And why don't we just set a date? Come back next Friday. Can you do that?
That sounds great. I'll be here, same place, same time.
Same place, same time. Okay, sounds good. Okay, that's going to complete our show for today. Really great and thankful for Mr. Keith Johnson joining us. And, you know, enlightening us on so many things here. So we got a lot of stuff we're going to talk to him, and he's coming back next week. So you know, a lot of stuff we're going to talk about again next week. So if you're out there listening, hey, come back. This guy knows what he's doing. So anyway, you've been zoned in for the last hour, and we're going to come back and meet you next week. Thank you.